This is Q42 coming at you.
So hello listeners, we're here for an episode of the Q42 podcast and we're focusing on stereotypes today. I'm Fran, I'm a mental health practitioner here at 42nd Street and I'm here with Jake.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello. That was because he was trying to find his microphone, not because he likes to repeat things.
No, I do.
And I'm also here with Scott.
Hello, hello.
Okay, hello, hello. Hello, hello. So yeah, we're going to talk about stereotypes a little bit today. We're completely ad-libbing it, so we'll see how we go. But I'm going to start just throwing a question out there. Whoever wants to come back to me first, what does the word stereotypes mean to you?
I think stereotypes are just cliches that are true. Like, there are stereotypes in society for a reason. It's because usually they're pretty accurate of the people they're representing. For example, good old gay stereotypes is that we're all fruity drag queens and we're all out there and blasé and living our best lives. And
wait, did you say these were true?
And you think that's true?
Well, yeah, we're all massive drag queens who wear makeup.
All of you.
And
all gay people.
All of us. I've seen you in makeup before, Scott.
I don't know, as the gay person wearing a Metallica t-shirt, I'm not sure. You know what I think? Stereotypes are things that definitely were true, possibly at some point, or were very much true as far as people could see them, and then have stuck around.
Yeah.
And are like, maybe 50% true at the moment.
Yeah, and the things that can be true, but it doesn't mean they are definitely true.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, they're not inherently bad just because they happen to exist, I think.
It depends on the stereotype, doesn't it? I mean, if you think about a big debate at the minute, I suppose, is the gender divide and women are stereotyped. We were talking about it earlier before the podcast. We've already had lots of deep conversations today, so I don't know if there's anything left for this podcast, but we were talking about it earlier, sort of, you know, women are seen as they should do certain roles, men are seen as they should do certain roles, but actually those stereotypes, are, I would say, are quite harmful.
Quite harmful if they're used in the wrong context, because if they're used purely on just an observation of, like we said before, women are in the nursing profession, it's a very female-dominated profession, whereas engineering is a very male-dominated profession, but that's because of the whole psychological difference between men and women. But on things like stereotypes like gay people don't like sports, so and then there's that huge homophobia in sport. Like there was a Twitter account from a gay footballer. He was supposed to come out today, I think it was. But then his Twitter got deleted and it says, after reviewing the current place that we're in, I'm not ready to come out.
See, I read that was a hoax. Have you heard anything about that? If that was, is it actually true?
I read it.
From all I've understood from the BBC News is that it's true.
Okay. Yeah, I think maybe someone's saying it's a hoax to hide the fact that someone's not been able to. In 2019, a footballer has not been able to come out.
So that's a lovely, nice, that's a nice wrapped up bow cover up, isn't it?
It's interesting to raise awareness of it. I think even if it is a hoax, because you still don't have an out footballer.
Not in the UK. No.
That's good. I was hoping someone knew more about
in America. In America, not in the UK.
We have out rugby players, right?
Yes. Yeah, but that's because rugby's like the gay sport going. The stereotype, isn't that?
That's the stereotype. Some stereotypes.
That's the stereotype with rugby, is that they're all gay.
Love it.
And that was Gareth Thomas, I think, opened that up, though. He was the first gay, well, the first openly gay rugby player. And that kind of, and I think maybe that's all it needs in football, is one person. Okay, then interesting.
They all come out. It was always rumoured that Cristiano Ronaldo was always gay because he never married but had kids.
I feel like we should try not to out anybody on this podcast.
Obviously, this has not had any founded evidence, but pure speculation. Cristiano was always speculated to be gay.
Yeah, Sol Campbell also got a lot of. He unfortunately experienced both racist and sexist chanting from football crowds, so it must have been a joy to be Sol Campbell in the 90s. But anyway, we're talking about football now, which I feel has got away from. Yeah. Slightly from the subject.
I'm way out of my league.
I'm going to go for another question. How do you think stereotypes can affect your mental health? And I'm going to come to Scott first for that one, because Jake answered first last time.
How fair of you.
I'm a fair person.
Oh, you know what? I can't see them being a good thing for anyone's mental health. Even on the positive, not in the positive, but on one end of the spectrum, they just reduce people down to a certain set of characteristics.
Yeah.
And no one is just one or two characteristics. So half your personality is going to get ignored with any stereotype, even if it's kind of a positive one. And I think for people who don't fit into that stereotype, it's frustrating at best. I made joke of the fact that I'm wearing a Metallica t-shirt, but when I was growing up and you're a gay kid and you have that stereotype that you kind of act like Will and Grace, or that you're excessively witty, which I am excessively witty, but the, you know, you're out there and you're flamboyant, and when you're not, and actually you just spend most of your time in a black hoodie and nail varnish and listening to angry music, and you're like, wait, where do I go?
Yeah.
Things. And that stereotype kind of can be a little bit hurtful.
So that's like a stereotype that's kind of informed society and then actually makes people not be able to find a place. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
I think it's quite interesting that you say, like, you look like a black hoodie with black nail varnish and wearing, like, listen to angry music, but like by avoiding one very camp, quirky gay stereotype, you fall straight into the I'm the emo teenage kid that angsty one that smokes weed in his room and that's listens really to angry point. Music yeah. stereotype.
And does that raise a point, I suppose, that sometimes to try and find an identity, you will use stereotypes in a positive way, I suppose, to sort of think, well, I need to fit in somewhere. So if I act this way, these people will sort of accept me. And so you're using stereotypes to...
I think no matter how hard you try, someone will always put you in some form of stereotypes. You may sort of accept it and move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a cue to move on to a question?
I think, you know what? There's something quite human about stereotypes, though. I think especially... So, like, if you live in a city or in the modern age where you're exposed to, like, an insane amount of information on the internet, your brain needs to make things a little bit more understandable. And because you're going to interact with hundreds and hundreds of people on a day-to-day basis, and your brain isn't going to want to, like, take every single minute amount of detail. No. And sometimes things like stereotypes can help you get through things, can't you?
Compartmentalize and put everyone in a category to make all information more manageable. And this is, like, rife in the gay community, especially. You've got, like, jocks, twinks, bears, college kids and tall emo and all
that. And do you think a lot of those stereotypes are accepted though, and actually, like, do you feel they're a positive or negative?
I don't think that either, because as much as it gives you like a sense of identity, it almost limits where you can go. So you can always find someone who you share natural experiences with, but whether there is a group of people, multiple groups of people, there's always a hierarchy going behind them. And you find that like in the animal kingdom as well, it's like everyone knows their place, but it just so happens that it's a lot less harmful in the animal kingdom. Like in a lion pride, you've got the alpha lion, you've got the alpha female, and you've got the family hierarchical place.
I think this is a good time to point out that Jake's doing zoology at university.
Yeah, this is my whole degree.
Just think that's a good time to point that out. Lots of animal analogies going to happen today. It's a good thing.
But then you've also got it in high schools. You've got the popular kids and the sporty kids, and then you've got the angsty rejects and the sort of middle ground floaty kids, and then you've got the weird ones and the crazy ones, and you've obviously got like the people who are considered slow kids in quotation marks, and it's just whenever there's a group of people.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting. Again, that makes me think, because when I put these questions together, I was thinking solely as stereotypes is a negative thing, but actually for people in school, for example, that could be, depending on which end of that spectrum you just mentioned you end up on, it could be a negative, or if you end up being the popular kid and everything's going great for you, but then maybe you have to live up to that as well. So maybe that's negative on your mental health as well.
You always get that pressure, no matter where you are, is that you always have to fit in. When you're a popular kid, everyone's looking at you and they've got their own pressures. But if you're the angsty teenager kid who wears a black hoodie, then you feel isolated and you feel pressure, pressure by yourself.
Yeah.
So it's just a thing that exists.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Okay. Right. We're going to get even more personal here. So how have stereotypes affected your own life, do you think? I mean, we touched on some things here, but do you think there's particular instances where stereotypes have had an effect on your life? We'll go to Jake.
Because in high school, I fitted the stereotype as a drama kid. I was dramatic and flamboyant, and I got called gay even before I knew what gay was.
Yeah.
And Scott is relating.
True. Only it was called being sensitive when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, I got overly sensitive from my grandparents.
It's a sensitive voice. Oh, yeah, I know what that means now.
So I was very much put in a box before I realised what the box actually was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was confined in a jail that I didn't know was me happening.
Soundbites. That will be the tagline for this when we market it. Brilliant.
I remember my dad, this is after I'd come out, and he was fine with it, but didn't quite believe that I was fully gay. Yeah. I think he thought that I'd like, you toyed with the
phase,
idea.
It's a phase, Mom.
But then back in the day, you know the show Queer Eye, which is now awesome, but back in the day, the first version of Queer Eye was less awesome and was really just basically a makeover show that was excessively camp and very, not as like, really nice and uplifting like it is now. And my dad was just like, fully, you know what? I'm not entirely sure you are gay because that's what gay people look like. You have no fashion sense. Yeah. You're like, you don't know what fork is for what. You know, none of these things that he was watching on TV that were like, yeah, but that's what
that's
gay people
person,
are.
Yeah.
And he totally didn't buy that I was committed.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. It's like how all stereotypes are portrayed in the media and like how people actually use them to their advantages. Like, politicians are very divisive and will target certain minority groups and stereotypes. But also use that positively to find out how they can help you. As not that I support politicians in any sense, but they also use it to divide and conquer you. So you appeal for, say, white Republicans, you appeal by white Republicans by diverting from like people of colours and pushing them down and raising them up. Same with the class system in England. Boris Johnson got all the votes from the Conservative Party because he promised to get tax cuts for the rich and separate the rich and the poor even more, which helps his cause as a white Conservative male.
Yeah. Boris Johnson. Mm-hmm. He had to come up at some point, didn't he?
Yeah, of course he did.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you about something that makes me laugh about stereotypes that I've experienced. It's not a massively negative thing, but I'm 36. No, I'm not. I'm 35. I don't know why I said that. I'm half Indian, and I've spent my entire life, every time I go to an Indian restaurant with anybody who knows I'm half Indian, they ask me what to have. And these are some of my best mates, people I've known all my life, than my people I've been out with in the past, and I just kind of find that quite fascinating personally. It's just like, I mean, I've lived in England all my life, I don't know what and these are all English curries anyway, so I think stereotypes, they just are everywhere, and even when you don't mean to use them negatively, that things like that can get to people. Constantly being pigeonholed as you're this person, or someone wants to say to you guys like,
tell us we were gay men in locker rooms in high school, we know like, oh, he's gonna fancy me, he's gonna look at me. Shut up.
Yes,
you're right. It's always the unattractive people that say that as well.
It is. Yeah, in university now, still.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is.
It's weird as well because we get, like, all these things. Like, when I've got an Asian friend and he walked into an Asian restaurant and they immediately start trying to speak Chinese to him, even though he's lived in England all his life and doesn't speak Chinese. Yeah. And it's like, well, that's their stereotype and their own people. Like, thinking they all know the same language.
I can sympathise with that. I get spoken to in so many languages because I've got... my friend once told me I have a racially ambiguous face, which I've stuck with that because nobody knows where I'm from, ever. So whatever country I'm in, people will start talking to me in their language, which is great, but I only know English. So
you should tick that. You know, on those ethnicity forms, you should add racially ambiguous at the bottom. Oh, yeah. To see what people
get. It's not about getting a tattoo that says something like that. A tattoo on my arm that says racially ambiguous. Maybe.
Guess where I'm from.
It's always as well, I suppose this is another stereotype, that within 2 minutes of meeting most people, they will ask me where I'm from. And when I say Derbyshire.
He's like, but where are you actually from?
Where are you really from? How many times have I had that conversation in my life? But yeah, anyway. Okay, so we're going to try. We've got one more question that I've set out. And it was an attempt to kind of have a bit of a positive end to what can be a dark conversation. But we'll see how it goes. How do you fight against stereotypes? Like, what do you guys do personally? And how does society fight against stereotypes? Scott's turn.
Oh, wait, what? I thought I had 30 seconds to think of something.
No.
You've been meaningful.
You're starting us.
You know what? To some degree, being yourself is the cheesy answer, but just makes so much difference. Because eventually, the only way you're going to get rid of stereotypes is by slowly proving to people which ones are not right anymore. And I think just giving anyone that 30-second pause when they've made an assumption and just be like, oh, wait, oh, okay, that's an extra bit of your personality I didn't see. And I just think finding other people that you identify with anyway can be just such a huge way, like sharing everything that's going on and, you know, raising awareness of those stereotypes in order to just like chat about them.
Yeah.
Not have to confront them the whole time and just, yeah, I can't just, you know, anything cheesy, like just be yourself is just works for them. Doesn't mean it's like easy and it's probably really frustrating and irritating.
Is it a stereotype that's cheesy?
Oh, that's meta.
I don't know where that came from. But yeah, I mean, but no, you're right, aren't you? It is.
Stereotypeception.
Stereotypeception.
Then it's you've got the, do you fit into the stereotype that you're trying to fight stereotypes? Is that a stereotype in itself?
Yeah.
Are you one of those people?
Yeah. What, a permanent protester type?
Yeah.
That kind of,
It's like, I'm not what you think I am. One of those people.
So you end up.
Then you end up
actually, instead of just accepting who you are, you're fighting against what other people think you are, and that's damaging
to everyone as well. Because you isolate yourself, but then you lose your own identity within it. And you have to figure out, who am I? And then it's a deep, long thought to yourself and a bath, probably.
Yeah.
I feel like we've spiraled.
Yeah. Jake, how do you fight stereotypes in a positive way? What have you done in your life to fight stereotypes?
I haven't. I've accepted that people see me for who I am. Yeah. What they want to see me as. And if they actually want to get to know me, then they make friends with me.
And I think that is a way of fighting, isn't it? I think acceptance of things that are difficult is also another way of fighting.
Time of day. That one's going to affect. If someone looks at you from across the street and they're not going to see you again, are they? They're going to have a conversation about, you're a gay Muslim male, you must hate football and love drama, which in fairness is true, but that's not the point.
I was going to say, you picked those two things.
I went there.
Some of it's allowed to be true.
Yeah.
It's, you know, stereotypes are kind of there for a reason, aren't they? But...
Well, they were made to categorise people, and if to make them actually stick, they have to be somewhat accurate in some sense. So.
I think that's it, isn't it, as well? It's like that's idea, you can't just go around changing everyone's mind because you'll be exhausted within seconds, but you can like live your own stuff, and eventually people will start to realize, and the stereotypes that are more ridiculous will slowly die out of their own.
Yeah,
you came so close to almost doing the end of the Breakfast Club with your speech, and I got really excited, but not quite.
Well, am I just that good of a coming up with stuff?
Yeah, Breakfast Club's like the most profound movie ever.
Yeah, no, but I don't remember the last monologue from it.
It's a classic film. I can't. You know.
I do.
It's
love
something
Breakfast
like
Club.
If you'd see us as all these stereotypes, like as a jock and a nerd and a thing, and it's just like that's how you see it in your own terms.
So basically, it's the piece of advice we're coming away with at the end of this podcast to watch Breakfast Club.
Yeah, watch Breakfast Club. I mean, you have to watch it anyway. Right. It's a great film.
There's
watch
worse advice to give.
Yeah. I think that sounds like a pretty good place to sum up.
Can we get Breakfast the music Club from the end of Breakfast Club?
Don't you forget about me. Do you want to sing it?
No, can you do it?
I'm not going to sing.
Don't you forget about me.
we may not have to pay for licensing. Don't. You can't go over 20 seconds as you have to pay for licensing. So, you know, stop singing. But it was beautiful.
I'm not sure anyone would recognise the song. I think you're fine.
No. Brilliant. Well, I think that was a nice little chat about stereotypes.
Very informative yet cynical. Yeah. About stereotypes.
Nothing wrong with a bit of cynicism.
That's a tagline for our website now.
Yeah.
Informative but cynical.
Yeah. Brilliant. And we're there. Thank you both for the chat about stereotypes.
Very often.
You've been listening to Q42.